as the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy, and sing. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Clouds and rainbows, a living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to You, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. The creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of Your name. Jesus, Your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore You. Down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see the beauty that made this heart adore You. Hope of a life spent with You. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly You came to the earth You created, all full of of saints became pure. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
Here I am.
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
All right, y'all can be seated now.
Did you come this morning to worship? Amen. Did you come to bow down and spend time this morning worshiping our Savior? We are going into our follow-up to last week on the Holy Spirit and God with us. And we kind of talked about who He is. And this week, I want to drill that down a little and make it a little more personal and talk about the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit in you. Well, Pastor, is that really that important? Yes, it's extremely important. It's very important. If you do not possess the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit does not reside in you, then you are none of His. You do not belong to Christ. The Spirit living in you is what makes the difference. The profession of Christ is not near as important as the possession of Christ. There's a lot of people that profess to be Christians. There's a lot of people, when you ask them what faith are they, politicians are famous. Well, I'm a Christian. People say, I'm a Christian. It's a very easy thing to say, but do they really have the Spirit of the living Christ living inside of them? That's the difference. And it is a It's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between truth and a lie. It's the difference between heaven and hell. It matters. So let's talk about this morning about the Spirit and us. Heavenly Father, Father, here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you're my God. And Father, this morning as we pour our hearts out in praise, we pray it was acceptable to you. And now we open the word to worship and to learn a little more about who you are. And Father, as we study this third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, We ask that that very spirit that lives inside of us to teach us this morning, to illuminate what it is we need to know, so that, Father, in that it can draw us into a deeper relationship with you. Father, we love you. You are our breath. In you we live, we move, we have our being. And Father, for that we thank you so much. Teach us this morning, Holy Spirit. We love you. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen. We learned last week that the Spirit was there from the beginning in the opening pages of Scripture in Genesis chapter 1. It says the world was without form and void, and the Spirit hovered over the deep, and God said, "Let there be light." We went through how that is the gospel presented on the first pages of Scripture. The presence of God was there moving in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not begin at Pentecost, some may think, in Acts, but it was there in Genesis 1, moving, shaping, and creating. Before there was a man, a mountain, or the moon, the Spirit was there. Throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon people and empower them for specific tasks or purposes, and then the Spirit would depart. That's very different from the New Testament, and we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to study the difference in the Old and the New. In the Old Testament, the Spirit would come and go. He would come upon people. For instance, in Exodus 31, you have Bezalel. He designed he built a lot of the furniture for the temple, for the tabernacle. And the Spirit came upon him, and God gave the exact dimensions, but gave him the skill that he needed to build those items for the temple. He came upon Gideon in Judges chapter 6, 34. We're not going to look these up. You can write them down if you want to look at them. He came upon Gideon to lead the nation of Israel against Midian. He came upon Samson and gave him supernatural strength to be a judge and to lead Israel, Judges 14, 6. 1 Samuel 10, 10, he came upon Saul, King Saul. And Saul was to lead the nation of Israel as king. 1 Samuel 16, 13, he came upon David, anointing him to reign the righteous. Each time the Spirit of God came upon them, it was not to make them famous. It was not to give them notoriety, but it was to fill God's purpose. Yet he could also depart. In the Old Testament, the Spirit's presence was conditional. He came and he left according to obedience and disobedience. 1 Samuel 16, 14 says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit of the Lord troubled him." When Saul disobeyed, the Spirit departed. That's why when David sinned in Psalms, he prayed this. He said, he gave a very heart-wrenching prayer and said, "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me." And there's been times in my life when I've looked at that verse and I've prayed that. We don't have to pray that today. You don't have to pray, "Don't take your presence from me," because God's already promised us that his Spirit will not leave us or forsake us, that he will always be with us. But David prayed that because David understood the sweetness of having the Spirit on him. He understood the difference in his life when he had the Spirit and when he did not. If you can look back at your life and remember a time when the Spirit didn't dwell in you, there's a very much of a contrast on those two times, and you should be able to recognize that, of what life was like before the Spirit and what it was like after. David saw what happened to Saul, and he did not, I don't think he wanted that to happen to him. And then there was Samson. We talked about Samson, Judges 16, 20. The strong man of Israel, reduced to weakness when the Spirit of the Lord left him. Now, we don't know what Samson looked like. As a kid, I loved the story of Samson because, you know, got to talk about this guy that was so cool and so big and strong. And all the pictures that I saw as a kid, you know, Samson looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, or, you know, one of those big muscle guys. But as I've studied this, I really believe Samson probably didn't look like that. I think Samson probably looked like a very ordinary person. But it was the Spirit of God who dwelled in him and gave him supernatural strength at that time to give him what he needed to lead the people of Israel. And I've always, this verse has haunted me. Not that it can happen to me, but just where Samson got to in his life. In Judges 16:20, it says this, and this is the King James, I like the way it puts it. And he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He did not realize that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Delilah had deceived him, and I believe Samuel got to the point where he thought he couldn't lose the Spirit of God. He took the Spirit of God for granted. We don't have time to get into Samson this morning, but she said, "The Philistines be upon you," and he had no idea the Spirit had left him. He looked the same, he felt the same, everything should be the same, but the void of the Spirit made the difference, and he got up, and the Philistines very easily captured him and took him. Samson had the form of strength, but he lost the power. Outwardly, he looked the part, but inwardly, the fire had gone out. Paul gives us a warning in 2 Timothy 3:5 that in the latter times, there will those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. We are living in those days. It's not hard to look around and figure that out. There are many who have a form of godliness. They say, "Oh, all good things, and this is how we perceive God to be, and we want to help with this situation, the poor, and this." But they're void of any power. Have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. What a tragedy we see today. That's what Saul had become. That's what Samson had become. Outward religious with no inward reality. Activity without anointing. Form without fire. You can have the title, the position. You can have the reputation. You can have it all. But if the Spirit's power isn't present, listen to me, it's just going through the motions. And I believe there are many churches today that are like that church in Ephesus in Revelation that says, "You are doing all these good things, but you've left your first love." And in churches today, churches get so big and it's all about the money and we have so many programs that the Holy Spirit can leave and we just continue on. We just continue to have church. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if the Spirit is not what's empowering Riverside, stop coming, stop giving, lock the back doors, and let's go home and do something else. Because we're just wasting our time. If it's of our own accord, it doesn't work. We talked last week. All of our righteousness before God, all of our good deeds, all of our good works, all of the good things that you do of our own self before God, they're as what? Filthy rags. They're as filthy rags. They're garbage. They're rubbish. They're actually disgusting before God. They're a stench in his nostrils. He cares not about our righteousness if it's not in the Spirit. I spent some years ago, but our TV wasn't working, and we could not figure out what was wrong. It won't work. And somebody finally figured out it wasn't plugged in. So I got news for you. If it ain't plugged in, it ain't coming on. You're not gonna turn it on. It's like a lamp. You can have a beautiful lamp in a room. It could be crafted from the finest materials and have a beautiful shade, and it can give off the most beautiful light, and it can be so pretty, and you can sit and look at it and you can admire it and say how wonderful it is. But the purpose of a lamp is to do what? To give light. But as long as that lamp is sitting there, it cannot fulfill its purpose. It's when you take the cord and you plug it into the wall and power is administered, the lamp fulfills its purpose. Without power, it's useless. Folks, listen to me. As a Christian this morning, if we are not plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit, you may look good, but you're not putting off light. You just sit and look good. You have a form, but there's no power there. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the purpose of the power. Why is God concerned about us being filled with the power of the Spirit? And that this is talked about in a lot of circles today, and it is a terribly abused doctrine that when the Spirit comes upon us, it's going to cause us to do crazy things. It's going to, you know, the evidence of the Spirit is all these crazy things that's happening. That's not what Scripture says. That's not biblical. So let's look at the reason that God empowers us. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But you shall receive power. So we're talking about, right? Plugging in. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says, you are going to receive power when the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes down, then you're going to have power. Okay, well, Jesus, why do we need the Holy Spirit, and why do we need the power? And he gives us the reason. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Folks, the purpose of power is for proclamation. Well, Pastor, do you think that's right? I don't think that's right. That's what the book of Acts tells us. That the Spirit of God will come upon you, and when it comes upon you, you're going to be my witness. You're going to go out, and you're going to proclaim. It's not for status, but for service. It's not to show off, it's to speak out. Jesus said this power would begin in Jerusalem, it would go to Judea, it would go to Samaria, and then it would go to the uttermost parts of the earth. The gospel was never meant to stand still, it was meant to move forward in power. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here been to Israel? Y'all been to Israel? If you've been, how far away is it? It's a long way away. You got to do some serious flying to get there. Okay? So I know we don't think this today, but listen to me. It started in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and it went to the uttermost parts of the earth, a place called Mississippi. Mississippi to Jerusalem is the uttermost parts of the earth. You think how amazing this really is. This town of Jerusalem with 12 disciples. And think about what it is today. That's incredible. It's really unfathomable for us to try to take in. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to go out and proclaim, and it's, my gospel is going to go around the world. That happened. Jesus called it in Acts 1. This is what's going to happen, and that's what Christianity is around the globe. It's everywhere. So this is the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's meant to move forward. It is what's pictured in the parable in Matthew 13, 31. Jesus says that the mustard seed will be planted. The smallest of all seeds is the mustard seed. And he says it will grow to be this great tree. And in this huge tree, birds will come from all over and rest in this tree. That's what's happened today. That tree of the gospel has grown, and birds from Jerusalem and Samaria and Mississippi and California and Montana and Nigeria and South America have all come to rest in this tree. What an amazing thing that God has done, and he did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the church growing and spreading and welcoming souls from every nation. Revelation says every tribe, every nation, every tongue. And the secret of that growth, listen to me. I've been to growth conferences. I've read the books. I've been there. That ain't it. It's not about clever programs. It's not about marketing. It's not about manpower. Nothing wrong with some growth programs. Nothing wrong with some marketing. I'm not saying they shouldn't do those things. But listen, if it's void of the Holy Spirit, it means zilch. Jesus said, if I be drawn up, I will draw men unto me. I was talking to a pastor, and many of you know my father. My father is personally, to me, the greatest soul winner I've ever known. I know personally of a lot of people who have led people to Christ. I don't know anybody personally outside my dad who's led more. There may be, but I don't personally know him. And I was talking to a pastor he used to work with. And we were talking about my dad, and I started to laugh. And I said, yeah. I said, he ought to. I said, I watched my dad grow two churches in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of nowhere. He grew a church in Bridgeport, Alabama. A tornado came through and did $1 million worth of improvement to that town. I promise you, it was. And my friend said, you know, your dad didn't have time to write a book on church growth. He was too busy doing it. I said, amen. Because you know what my dad did? My dad sat down one day and he got alone with God and he said, Holy Spirit, this is my desire. My desire is to tell people about Jesus. And he said, Lord, if you'll give me the opportunities, then I will proclaim it. And as the opportunities presented themselves, he was able to share and seen so many come to Christ. That was the end of my notes. I just start thinking about that. It's the purpose of the power is for proclamation. It's for us to proclaim his word. And it happens in so many different ways. It happens in so many different ways. I promise you this. In the marketplace, if you will live your life different, I didn't say be a weirdo. I didn't say be condemning. If you will live your life different, if you will choose not to be like the world, if you will choose to be full of the Spirit, listen to me, people will notice the difference. They'll notice the difference. And they'll want to know what the difference is. And let me go ahead and clue you in. You will not be successful apart from the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. That is what's attractive about you. It's not you, it's the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Well, what about the gifts of the Spirit? We learned about those earlier this year. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit. They are important. And there is a purpose for those gifts. The purpose is to edify the church, to train, to prepare, and to love the body of Christ. God puts those, when you become a Christian, you're born again, I believe you are in gifted with a gift of the Spirit. One of those gifts lives inside of you, and the Spirit's going to empower that. And then you're called to bless the body of Christ, to bless the church around you. Those gifts don't come fully developed. We talked about that. We have to use them. We have to grow them. We become proficient in them, and we become better at the gift. We learn to use the gift. It doesn't come fully operational. But listen to me. That is not how the Spirit comes. The Spirit does not come in phases. He does not come in pieces. He does not come in processes. He doesn't grow or increase. He comes in full power. He didn't tell the disciples, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and then you'll get a little more tomorrow. He said, no, when he comes, he's coming in power. He's coming now. He's coming all at once. And when he comes, we receive all of him. And it's an amazing power. It's so powerful that John says that what manner of love has he bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. It's power that transforms us. It's the power that changes us into the image and the likeness of God. Sometimes we think, oh, well, you know, I hear about the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, and that's for super Christians. That's for you, or that's for Billy Graham, or that's I'm just a nominal Christian. I'm really a nobody. Newsflash, okay? Listen to me. Everybody listen to me. Newsflash. This is important. You need to know this, okay? There are no super Christians. They ain't none. They don't exist. There's nothing special about me, except there is someone special in me. There's nothing special about me except who lives inside of me. That is what is special. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul said, I have died to the flesh. The old man is dead. And now the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Let me clarify one thing real quick and we'll come back to this. Sometimes when we talk about dying to ourselves, sometimes we don't do that correctly. We always talk about dying, 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 dying. Listen, God said when we're saved, we're what? A new creation. And when I'm a new creation, all my members are new. Everything is new. Everything is now covered in his righteousness. And God expects me to live unto him, not to die unto him, to live unto him. I die unto the old flesh. I live unto Christ. Amen? God's called us to use what he's given us. He said, God says, I didn't kill you. We just killed the old man. Now the new you is full of the Spirit. The new you is full of life. And what I've given you, I want you to use. I want you to move forward in the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not your reward for holiness. The Holy Spirit is your source of holiness. He is not your reward for holiness. He is the source of holiness. All of my righteousness is as filthy rags, but I have the source of the power of the Spirit living in me, and that's what makes me attractive. That's what draws people, is it's the Spirit living in me. Nothing special about us. It's the Spirit. John 14:17 says, he dwells with you and shall be in you. He shall be in you. That's the promise of the new covenant. That's the difference that Pentecost made. At Pentecost, everything shifted. Right? Everything shifted. And it was no longer about the Spirit resting upon us, but it was the Spirit residing in us. Was there a difference? You better believe it. the Spirit would come upon men and rest upon them, and they would do things, and the Spirit would leave. The Spirit now dwells inside of us, and he says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. How does he accomplish that? By his Spirit living inside of us. The Spirit lives inside of us. And people say, well, Pastor, I want more of the Spirit. I want more of Christ. I want more of Christ. Listen to me. You can't get more of the Spirit. You've got all you're going to get. When you got saved, if you are born again and you got saved, the Spirit came to dwell in you. You got 100% of the Spirit. Well, then, Pastor, what's the difference in Christians who have matured? What's the difference in Christians who are out proclaiming Jesus and have the power to proclaim and have the power of all that? Don't they have more of the Spirit? No, they don't have more of the Spirit. Listen to me. The Spirit has more of them. That's the difference. It's not more of the Spirit, it's more of me. People are saying, oh, Jesus, I want more of you. And Jesus in heaven is saying, that's funny, because I want more of you. I want more of you. I need you to fully surrender. I need you to surrender to me. And when you surrender to me, then there's room for the Spirit to move. There's room for the Spirit to work. There's a dividing line between spiritual weakness and spiritual power, but it's not about gaining more in him. It's about giving more of you. Surrender is the key. This is very important. You need to really tune in for this next point here. Listen to me. Surrender is the key. Do you want to mature in your faith? Do you want to move and act in power? Yes, then it's about surrender. That's what it's about. The disciples, okay, the disciples had already received the Spirit in Acts 2. We just read it, right? Hang with me now, okay? We're going to go back to Acts. Acts 2, he said, the Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to go out and boldly proclaim. Pentecost had already happened. They already had boldness, amen? Are you following me? They were in the upper room. The Spirit came, and Pentecost happened, and Peter preached. Did Peter preach in boldness? If you don't know the answer, I'll give it to you. Yes. Yes. Peter was the mighty pastor at Pentecost. Peter preached in boldness. The day that Peter preached at Pentecost, how many people got saved? 3,000. 3,000. Do you think that was in boldness? I ain't never had 3,000 at an altar call. Peter preached, and it says 3,000 were added to the church. You know what I believe? How many times did Peter deny Christ? One, two, three. And Peter repented, and Jesus on the shore of Galilee said, Peter, feed my sheep. And Peter said, I will. And the power of the Spirit came upon Peter. And Peter got up and boldly proclaimed because he had surrendered all. And God gave him, for each time he denied him, a thousandfold redemption. Amen? A thousandfold redemption. Peter, you can forget about that night. The Holy Spirit now resides in you. Feed my sheep. And Peter did that. He did it in power and in boldness. So Peter had boldness. Let's go to Acts 4. All right? Let's go to Acts 4. We're going to do 23, 24, then we're going to skip down. 31. And being let go, they went out of their own company, and they reported all the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. I'm going to go down to 38. And he prayed, and the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. 31. They spoke the word of God with boldness. Go 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither did any of them that all the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. In this passage in Acts 4, it says that they were, that Peter and them were released. They told them what happened, and they asked to speak in boldness. Well, Peter, wait a minute. You already were speaking in boldness. You already had that, Peter. That had already happened. They were already filled with the Spirit. But Peter says, listen, I'm going to surrender more. I need to be filled up. God, keep filling us. Ephesians 5, mark this down. Ephesians 5:18 says this, be ye filled with the Spirit. They'd already been filled. Why are they asking again? Be ye filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 in the Greek, it literally means this, be ye being filled. Be ye continually being filled with the Spirit. Well, Pastor, if they were filled with boldness and we got all of the Spirit, why do we have to continue to be filled? Because when we serve and we witness to the world, we get depleted. We get weary. Remember, the Bible says don't grow weary in well-doing. We become weary, and we have to be continually deny ourselves of the flesh and be filled back up with the Spirit. We have to be continually filling ourselves. My father showed me this illustration years ago. I was going to bring a glass. I didn't, but you'll get the idea. You take a glass of water and you fill it up to the top. It can't hold any more water. But when you pour half the water out, then you can pour more water in. When you empty yourself of self, then there's room for the Spirit to come. That's surrender. Folks, the main point of this message that you need to walk home with is it's surrender. If the glass is full of flesh, if the body is full of flesh, there's no room for the Spirit. We have to empty ourselves so the Spirit can fill us. The more we surrender, the more room He has to fill. The Holy Spirit isn't withholding Himself from us. He's waiting for you to surrender. Well, Pastor, I've already surrendered. I became a Christian. No, that's step one. Now, you can't get any more saved. It's not what I'm saying. But you can empty yourself of yourself and allow the Spirit to move inside of you. The Spirit will help increase your faith. It will help increase, where there's faith, there is no fear. It will dispel fear. He will give you direction. The Spirit will, in Him we move and we live and we have our being. How? Through the Spirit living inside of us. Pastor, I am scared to death to share my faith with somebody. What is that? It's fear, right? It's fear. What are we afraid of? Well, I'm afraid they might laugh at me. So you're worried about yourself, right? Well, I'm afraid I won't know the answers to the questions. You're afraid. I'm afraid I won't do this. I'm afraid I won't that. I'm afraid I. Okay. Surrender. Surrender. Lord, I'm going to stop worrying about I, and I'm going to start worrying about you. God, I'm going to take myself. I'm going to empty myself of me and allow you, the Spirit, to fill me back up. And the Spirit, listen, where there is faith, you won't find fear. He'll replace fear with faith. And it will stop being about me because I've surrendered all of me to all of Him and the Spirit has filled me. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to surrender. The Spirit is both a well and a river. The Spirit is a well and a river. In John 4, Jesus told the Samaritan woman, right? He said, drink from this fountain, or drink from this well. And he said, you're getting normal water, and when you drink it, you'll thirst again. But if you drink from the well that I'm offering, you'll never thirst again. That's salvation. He is a well. We are born of the Spirit. Go from John 4 back to John 3. He's talking to Nicodemus. The earthly, we're born of water. That which is born of water is water, but that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. I hope I didn't make that too difficult to follow. What is born of Spirit is Spirit. We are born in the Spirit. He offered the woman at the well that drink from his well. That is salvation. He is a well, and he is also a river. John chapter 7, Jesus said, he that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The river is the Spirit flowing out of me. A well is for drinking. That is salvation. A river is for flowing. That is surrender. People talk about flowing in the Spirit. They are in the river of the Spirit. There is a flow. There is a river of the Spirit. And folks, I want to tell you something. If you're on the shore, come on in because the water's fine. Come on and hop in. What are you waiting for? You've accepted Christ. The Spirit resides in you. Now surrender and give him all. Jump into the river. If you're here this morning and you've never taken a drink from the well, Pastor, I don't understand anything you're talking about. If you've never taken a drink from the well, you need to drink from that well where you will never thirst again. If you've drank from that well, then it's time to surrender and get into the river and allow him to flow in you and through you. Empty the glass of yourself and let him fill you. Let your life move with the current of his Spirit. You don't need more of the Spirit. He needs more of you. When you yield, he fills. When you surrender, he flows. And when he flows, listen to me, the power of heaven moves through your life. Pastor, that sounds crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just go ahead and clue you in. If you didn't already know this, there's a lot of crazy stuff in here. If you ain't figured it out, if you're looking for a reason, don't come here. Because there's a lot of supernatural, crazy stuff in here. Amen? We believe, you understand, we believe as Christians that the Spirit of the living God, the God who created everything, his Spirit dwells inside of us. You go out and tell people on the sidewalk that, they're going to think you have lost your marbles. But this book says it's true. This book says that is absolutely 100% how it is. So here's the question. Will you surrender? Will you surrender? Surrender isn't weakness. It's where strength begins. Surrender isn't weakness. It's where strength begins. Listen, it's the only way to walk in power and purity and peace. It's the only way. We have to surrender and become full of the Spirit. Pastor, why does God want to fill us up with the Spirit? For proclamation. He wants to fill us up with the Spirit so we can tell others about his story. We can tell others what he's done for us. Like someone said one time, we're just beggars telling everybody else where to get bread. But his Spirit lives inside us and gives us the power to do that. He was with the judges. He was with David in Psalms. But today he is in you. The Spirit doesn't hover anymore. He inhabits. He doesn't empower. He indwells. He doesn't visit. He abides. He says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. Zechariah 4:6, and we'll end with this. He said this. You know the verse. He said, not by might or by power, but what? By my spirit, says the Lord. You want that power flowing in you? I do. I do. Lord, I want the power of the Holy Spirit to flow in me freely. I want to be open to accomplish the will that you have. Father, how do I do that? Just surrender. Surrender. What are you holding on to this morning? I know I'm a little long. We're wrapping up. But this is what it comes down to. All this I talked about, it boils down. What are you holding on to this morning that you need to let go of? What is it that matters so much to you that you're holding on so tight with? Well, Pastor, I've worked really hard to get this. Pastor, I've worked really hard to gain this. Pastor, in my job, I've reached this level. In my job, I've reached this amount of income. I've saved up this money. My life, I've kind of got it planned out. When are you willing to throw your hands in the air and say, Jesus, don't take the wheel, take it all. Take it all. You can have every part of me. Every part of me. Jesus, what is it you want from me? I'll do it. I surrender everything. I didn't think about this while I was praying a sermon. I'm going to close. But I see Randy and Kim, my brother and sister in Christ, I love so much. I watched them surrender everything. And I had to think about it when they did. They came to me and they said, we're moving to Chile. We're going to South America. I said, why? They said, that's where God's called us to. I said, for how long? They said, we don't know. Until he calls us back home, until he calls us somewhere else. Well, what are you going to do? We're going to sell our house. We're going to sell our cars. We're going to sell everything. We're going to pick our family up, and we're going to move where God told us. Would you do that this morning? Well, Pastor, God ain't called. He called them to that. He didn't call me to that. Maybe he hasn't. I don't know. What's he called you to? What's he called you to? What does God want you? Hey, maybe he wants you to surrender the fear of speaking to the person sitting in the cubicle next to you. Maybe he wants you to surrender to the fear of talking to the neighbor next door. Maybe he wants you to surrender to the fear. Maybe he's got something that is a challenge for you. Maybe he's got some kind of a ministry he wants you to start. Maybe he's got some people he wants you to go to. Maybe, who knows what it is? The question is, it doesn't matter what it is. The question is, how will I answer? The call went out in Isaiah chapter 6. God said, who will we send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Send me. What is your response this morning? Here am I. Send me. I don't know where I'm going, Lord, but wherever it is, send me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that this message that I've tried to articulate, Father, that it just, in the finite words that I possess, that the Spirit somehow took it and made a supernatural difference. That, Father, the Spirit, your Spirit lives, it dwells in us permanently. And, Father, if we'll just surrender to you, we can flow in your goodness and in your will. Father, you will provide everything that we need. Father, my prayer is for our churches to be that, Father. My prayer is for our church to become that, to become spirit-filled. So we can do what? We can proclaim Jesus is Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen.